7 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. It is Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane, but I want to point out it's not just Dalton, it's Big Daddy Orwig, as you now have a new addition to your family.
Yeah, Isabella Orwig, born yesterday, first kid, my first kid, Vicky's first kid, and she was born right at 5 o'clock on the dot, so a radio guy's dream. She's already timely. She comes
top of the hour.
Top of the hour.
Top of the
news.
Hour, baby. Not at 5:06, not at 4:48.
Right at 5 o'clock, and she's born healthy, a month early, but healthy, and the mom is healthy, so couldn't have asked for anything better, and thanks to everybody out there who reached out when I shared the beautiful picture of little Isabella on Twitter
last
night.
She is a cutie, and we're all very, very happy for y'all. Awesome stuff, and just get ready. That's all I got to say. I'm not going to specify, just get ready.
It doesn't get easier? It's all... All uphill from here.
Yeah, but it's a good uphill. We'll put it that way. We'll talk about that some. Also this hour, we mentioned a couple things that we're going to be on the radar for our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, also host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN Radio in Huntsville. And lucky for us, when I said these are things Jeff's talking about, there's Jeff. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to have you here, and I want to get... Where do you want to go? You want to go Washington or Montgomery first? Where were you want to start?
Well, it looks like Washington's kind of leading the way because of this border deal. Trump's kind of... It's leaked out that he's going to sign this deal.
Okay. Now, the deal. And I want to try to just get facts. You know how I am. Let's get facts on the deal. It's what, $1.3 billion, and it can be all used for... wall, fencing, barrier, or is it a portion of it? How do you understand this morning?
Well, we really don't know the exact details of it, and I think there's like a 72-hour window they have to post the bill before it can be voted on, but the details that have leaked out, it is $1.3 billion, or $1.3, $1.4, somewhere in that neighborhood for barrier. I don't know that they're going to give him actual language that says wall. But right now, it looks like that looks like where they're going with it, that this is just kind of... There are some other things that may not pass. The idea that they could restrict ICE from having enough detention beds, that's a big kind of third rail, I guess. But the preliminary details are that there's something in that neighborhood, and that Trump has now signaled... a couple hours ago, that he's going to sign that.
Explain that part to me, too, because the president the other night in El Paso made some reference to that about ICE and the number of beds. Can you tell me what that is? What are they saying?
So what Democrats want to do, they're ideologically opposed to detention of some of these illegal border crossers. And what they want to do is they want to put limitations on the ICE detention beds, so that forces the Trump administration to prioritize the most dangerous people and not do like what we've heard in the news, that he's detaining families and separating children. Now you could do the catch and release, where they cross the border illegally and somebody writes them a ticket, right? And then after that, they say, you come back for this court date, whereas right now they're detaining a lot of these people until their court date. So Democrats in Congress don't like that, and they want to limit the number of beds, so this is the way they can do it statutorily.
Okay, so that's what I think is important about this. Great to have you on, because instead of just fighting and saying, we believe you should catch and release people, we don't believe you should detain people, they're going to go about it by saying, we're going to... limit the number of beds, so therefore, by de facto, you can't keep them overnight or something like that.
Correct. And there won't be enough beds to do that. So it's...
Sorry. It's just ridiculous. I mean, either fight the issue or don't.
So my question is, will it make it through Congress? Because if there's actually language in it for the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a number of Democrats who aren't going to vote for that under any circumstance, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that, with this ICE detention language, and I know some Republicans, including with Marshall Blackburn of the senator from Tennessee yesterday, with that language about ICE, they're not going to sign. They're not going to vote for it either. So does it make it through Congress? Can it get 60 votes in the Senate, and will get a simple majority in the House? I still think that's up in the air.
All right, so help me with this, too, that I've seen some statement creep or some reaction creep, maybe that's better, because when this first came out, that the crew came out, said they had gotten a deal as long as, you know, the president would approve it or whatever, and I heard even like Sean Hannity come out and say, you know, a pox on the house of Trump, I'm paraphrasing here, if the president would sign this and blah, blah, blah. And then yesterday, I was kind of looking at it, and I said, I don't know how this is a win for the president, because originally there was, what, $1.6 billion on the table from the Democrats early on, and I don't know if that was could be used for the wall or not, but it was on the table. The president kind of accepted it for a day or so, and then he walked away from it, and then we went to the shutdown. And now he's agreeing at 1.3, so I said, I don't know how that's a win. Well, then it seems like about this time yesterday morning, messaging out there and pundits out there started saying, no, 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 this is a big win for the president. This is a great thing for the president. I mean, what is it? I mean, is it a win? Is it a loss? I mean, if you wanted $5.7 billion and you get 1.3, I got a lot of people out there saying, no, well, that's a win. Is that a win?
Watch Senator Lindsey Graham. I suspect he has an end with Donald Trump, and he'll kind of give you a forecast of what's going to happen. So, and the reason I say that is you could read all the books and you could see how they have a relationship. But he's saying that Donald Trump should take this deal, take what he could get, then go through the process of declaring the emergency. Now, how that plays out, we go into court. Maybe there's some kind of stay or some kind of order telling Trump he can't build the wall, but if he already has some money to be able to do so, those are the two competing ideas. So watch what he has to say. If it's a win or not, the base is going to react accordingly. I think a lot of the hardcore Trump supporters, the ones that were build the wall chanting at the rally, I don't know that they'll see this as a win, but the way out of it for him might be that emergency order.
It opens the door for that.
Hey, okay, and maybe that's what maybe some of the more vocal pundits will be that way. But what I've seen in my very small slice of this is I've seen people that won't ever disagree that it's. I mean, a few people yesterday I thought that was interesting called and they said they were strong Trump supporters from the beginning and they were really disappointed that the president negotiates for this $1.3 billion. But then I heard from legions of people yesterday that said, "Oh, this is okay. This is the deal. This is you don't get it, Sean. He wanted $1.3 billion the whole time. That's why he asked for $5.7. You know, you asked for more than you want in the deal. But he walked away from $1.6 earlier in the thing. I can't. This is not anti-Trump. This is just." The fact.
Yeah, and there's going to be a number of people that are going to say no matter what Trump does or is a win, I think. But that's just the nature of his personality, the nature of his followers. You could assign score the way you want, but the people doing it, my suspicion is they're going to say no matter what Trump does, it's a good thing. And if I'm looking at it, I mean, we were like, what in a $20 billion range, and then we're in a $5 billion range, yep. And now we're in the $1 billion range. The problem is, Sean, I think Donald Trump did really well that first shutdown to keep Republicans together and keep them unified. He had a defector or two. I don't think he could do that now. I think he's kind of got to take what he can get right now, and that's just the reality of it.
Okay, so this is the president's reaction to the political landscape. I mean, that he's pushed it, and he's kind of done the, you know, let's put all maximum pressure on here and see who breaks and doesn't break, and he did, and he realizes he doesn't have the votes.
Right, and there at the end, when he went to that that three-week continuing resolution, if you recall, they did a vote in the Senate. They let the Schumer proposal get a vote, and they allowed the McConnell proposal to get a vote, and you had five Republican senators go both ways that voted for both bills just to end the shutdown. That was the first sign that he was bleeding support from his own Republican caucus. I don't think that Republicans in Congress are going to be willing to do this all over again, and so he knows who's with him and who isn't.
All right, coming right back. Can you hang on through the news break?
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back with our buddy Jeff Poor. Great insight he has into this stuff. And we'll talk a little bit more Washington, but then we're going to take you to Montgomery and the gas tax. Also maybe talk this prison issue as well. I mean, before session gets started in Montgomery, the sausage is at least being chopped up. I don't know if they're making it yet, but they're at least figuring out what they're going to put in the sausage. We'll talk to him about that when we get back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I've been telling you about the folks from Lightstream for a while now, and I'm going to remind you, if you're sick and tired of paying high interest rates on your credit cards, why don't you consolidate multiple credit card payments down to one payment, and when you do that, lower your rate. It's a no-brainer here. Go to Lightstream.com. You can refinance your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream and get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with auto pay. Now, the rate's fixed. It's never going to go up, and there are zero fees. You can apply online in minutes, and it's so easy you don't even need to leave the home, or if your boss isn't looking, maybe your desk at work. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And Lightstream rewards people with good credit with a low rate and an easy process. And isn't that why you work on having a good credit rate to be able to save that money? Use it. Let it work for you. If you want to save even more, y'all can get an additional interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Poor. And Jeff, a little bit more in Washington, and then we'll go to Montgomery. And I was just going to see the next step here. You think the president signs this deal? They signed before Friday. We avert the partial shutdown. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, if you'd asked me yesterday, I would have. Well, if you asked me on Monday, I would have said 50-50. If you asked me yesterday, I'd say 70-30. Now it's looking more 90-10.
Okay, so he gets this signed, and then the idea is he will have $1.3 billion towards the wall, and then what, we'll try to use the emergency action to make up the difference between $1.3 and $5.7 billion?
Yeah, I think so. It won't work, or at least won't initially, because it'll get stopped by the court. Somebody will sue. It'll be it'll get logjammed through the Ninth Circuit, I suspect, and it'll get slow-walked to the Supreme Court in every way possible. So, but this is what he could say to his supporters. He could say, look, this is what I did. This is the best I could do. I'm doing the best I can. It's hard to work with this Congress. I have a pen and a phone. I'm going to use those powers, and we'll see how that goes.
And just quickly, I wonder what the Democrat spin is. If a wall is immoral, was that $1.3 billion worth of immorality that they agreed to?
Well, here's what's going to happen. It'll be called a Trump. I mean, it'll be called a wall by the Trump crowd, and it will be called a barrier or something to that effect by the Democrats. And both sides will claim victory. It'll just be a messaging fight.
All right, we'll watch that and laugh and laugh and laugh. All right, in Montgomery, gas tax, infrastructure—they're one and the same. What are you hearing?
So here's what the a couple of things. Ivy's going to be the one out in front of this, I believe. And the reason I say that is what I'm hearing is, when they assign Ivies to it, it polls 10 points higher than when they do than if they assign the legislature to it. So if you say it's the Alabama legislature's gas tax, it doesn't do as well. That when you say it's Governor Ivey's gas tax, then it becomes a little more acceptable.
That's got to make her feel good. I mean, just attaching her name to it brings it up 10 points. Wow, that's strong.
Right. So the other half of that is what I'm hearing is they're going to do it gradually. So the initial proposal will be something like 6 cents, but every year it's going to go up 2 cents till it hits 12 cents. So we'll start out six, then we'll go eight, then we'll go 10, then we'll go 12. Right? The problem is a lot of people say that that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough to do what Al Dott wants to do. I think there's a lot of other fights that are going to be waged over this. I think the big five, the big five cities in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Mobile, Huntsville, Montgomery, they're going to get middle of this with the counties. The counties and the big cities are going to fight over it, maybe even the league municipalities. Those are the smaller cities, the Decaturs, the Dothans, the Auburn, Opelika, and so forth. They're going to want a... They're going to want a certain percentage of it, too. Right now, the cities can raise their gas taxes. The counties cannot. And the counties do not want the authority, is my understanding. They don't. It's just like the sheriffs and the jail food. They don't want the authority with the distributing the jail food either. So I don't know what you're doing as county commissioner in Alabama these days. But back to the gas tax. That's going to be the fight. It's going to be how the money's split up. It's going to be because, you know, we go through this all the time, that especially people in Mobile and Baldwin County think their money gets sent back to Montgomery and it pays for something else in North Alabama. It's the classic it's the classic Alabama geographic fight where you have North versus South. So a lot of people in Baldwin County, I mean, this goes back to the BP oil spill funds, but a lot of people in Baldwin County think that, you know, the money they raise from tourist dollars and that tax revenue, it's not really staying in Baldwin County. It's getting sent all over the state. So that I think that will be a big battle line. It'll be counties and cities will be a big battle line, and then kind of what the number is. But the number I think they're going to go with early on is that 6, and then gradual all the way up to 12.
I mean, you just laid it out, but we've talked about this for months and months and months, that it's a two-part battle, right? It is the first battle, how much is it, and those kind of, and whether we'll do it or not, and then the who gets a taste of the, or how much of a taste of the action do they get? And I mean, which one do you think could derail this more easily?
I mean, the votes, here's the thing. We didn't really have this argument during the 2018 cycle, right? We didn't talk about gas tax. It was just kind of a foregone conclusion, I thought, just covering a lot of the races, because no one ran about being anti-gas tax. I don't think the anti-gas taxers are going to have enough support. I think you'll hear a little bit out of them, but I do think it'll be something along the lines of the counties and the cities getting in a fight. And that, if one doesn't get their way, then either one, if they don't find the deal acceptable, then either one could probably upset the vote going through the legislature.
You know, I hear in this non-scientific poll, non-scientific surveys we do, but I do hear way more pushback against any kind of increase in a gas tax. And I hear people that say, okay, well, you know, it's been since 92. We probably need to do something. I mean, I'm not saying I have any kind of, you know, real polling, but I do have a conversation with folks that vote every day.
Well, here's the problem. They had a chance to vote last November, right? And this wasn't an issue. And this is what happens in the first year of a new quadrennium, right? They do the big things. They're going to go after the gas tax. There's a little bit of scuttlebutt about expanding Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Do the big things like the lottery. In the first year of a new quadrennium, that's what they try to do. And then hopefully by the time the next election rolls around, we the voters have forgotten about all of that.
Except that you and I bring it back up.
Yeah, but what, it depends on what else happens. I mean, the way, if you just look at the track record of Montgomery, we could be talking about another governor leaving office or Supreme Court justice or you know, a Speaker of the House impeached or whatever. So just the track record of Montgomery, it could be, I mean, do you remember what happened in the first year of the quadrennium, the last quadrennium, the coming out of the 2014 cycle? I don't.
No, I don't. Well, I can go back and check my notes, but
that's the idea, that you do it now, and then by then people will forget.
Jeff Four, as always, man, we appreciate it. People want to find you on Twitter. Where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Four.
It's Jeff Four, y'all. Go to the news and coming back, taking your calls, 343-0106.
837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. How is everybody?
Hey, we're doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. Let's talk about the 2018 closeout sale going on at McConnell Automotive. It's February of 2019. What's going on with this 2018 closeout sale, Mitch?
Dalton, it's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of dealers that deal cars talk about what their agenda is. And at McConnell, I kind of like to always talk about what our customers' agendas are. And most of the time, Dalton, is to save a bunch of money and make it easy. So we've been around since 1955. I just want to invite everybody to go to our website. Just go to McConnellAutomotive.com. Just Google McConnell, it'll pop up, Dalton. And what you're going to see on the website is things like 19% off Sierra trucks, Acadias, Terrains, all these GMCs. So the 18 models, they have not been picked through. So if you got a color you want, I think, Dalton, if people wait another 1 or 2 weeks, their favorite colors will be gone. So the new 19 truck, y'all have seen it and talked about it, has arrived, and it's making these deals on these 18s crazy, and one of them is $11,473 off right when you go on my website. So I just want to make people aware that if you snooze, you lose on this one, Dalton. So make a move fast. Go to our website or come and see us.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Those are some great deals. We appreciate it.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and his, and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Did you get any sleep last night?
I got 2 hours. 2 hours of sleep last night.
Okay, that's like normal for radio people.
About 2 hours more than the night before.
Yeah, that's true. So you're working on 2 hours and 48?
Yeah, but man, I cannot complain. Got a the first baby in the Orwig household, so you're not going to find me complaining about the lack of sleep.
Yeah, it's get ready. Yeah, you're just getting ready for the lack of sleep. Some tips, and we can keep those going through the week, too. Tips, I will say this one, for some reason with my children, the car would, I'm sure it's the sound of the road and the motion of the vehicle or whatever. Sometimes you get tired of doing the walk them around the house, mm-hmm. Bouncing them like for hours.
Yeah.
And you do this, it's almost like you have nitroglycerin. You have the baby and you walk them around and you do whatever and they calm down, hold them close and they calm down and they get sleepy. And you go to put them in the bassinet there.
Right.
And you're easing down, baby's still asleep. The second the baby touches the bassinet and the bed, they're wide awake and hollering again. You're picking them back up.
Yeah.
So now this will be for down the road, but I would put both of my children, my son more than my daughter, in the there were times that I'm sure MPD would have stopped me and said, what are you doing? And then looked in the back seat and understood. But it'd be 2 or 3 in the morning before I had to leave at 4 or something to go to work, driving around the city with the baby in the back, in the neighborhood and over past my parents' house and back in a loop to my house, because that would put them to sleep and get them sleep enough that I could sometimes, but you'd have to make the transition very carefully, get them sound asleep and then go try to put them in the bassinet and hopefully when you sit them down, it's just a slow motion. You're like, please stay asleep.
Yeah,
stay
like,
asleep.
Like
stay
you're
asleep.
On the bomb squad or something.
It's exactly what it's like.
And that's a great dad tip. And I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to drive Izzy Orwig around in the car. But I think electric cars are going to ruin that for parents of the future. You won't have the same buzz as you do when you're driving around in a real vehicle.
So I read a story about trouble they were having with electric cars because electric cars were hitting people. Because people, even though we think we look both ways always, part of what we're doing is we're listening. Even though if you interview somebody right afterwards, they'll like video people crossing streets and say, oh, yeah, I look both ways. Actually, some people are using the sound of a vehicle approaching as mm-hmm. a warning. Well, with electric cars, you don't get that. You get maybe the gravel under the tires as a sound. So they talked about retrofitting these cars with sound systems that make the sound of a gasoline engine.
See, I was thinking everybody would put deer whistles on their car.
So those, like Bub Rub, those whistles.
So everybody's whistling going down the road.
But that's, so it's just an idea that maybe down the road you will have maybe something you pop in your iPod or something like that, and you'll have the sound of a gasoline engine running.
Yeah.
That'll put the baby to sleep.
That's a great idea. And, I made one mistake. Well, I probably made a few mistakes, but one that I noticed yesterday as my wife was in labor. And, it was pretty painful, 48 hours for her yesterday. But I'm a guy who just says what's on his mind. And, in the waiting room kind of walking around. And this is why I don't complain about sleep, because I might have gotten just a couple hours of sleep, but my wife got zero sleep,
no sleep
over the last
right.
3 days. And, but I'm walking around and I'm like, oh, my legs are hurting. I was running the other day, and I think I might have pulled something in my leg. And my wife and my mom, who was visiting us yesterday, they both looked at me. My mom was like, you better get out of the room. Get out now.
my leg's hurting from running.
My wife's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about any of your pain, because it is nothing compared to what I'm going through.
I would have to say that was a life lesson right there. Just keep your mouth shut on
quick.
That. Yeah, keep your mouth shut on that stuff. All right, we'll take some calls at 343-0106. I mentioned this story earlier, too, that we started talking about this 2 weeks ago, and now it made it into print this week, that Governor Kay Ivey announcing the state will begin accepting bids to create 3 new mega prisons in an effort to consolidate older facilities. Okay, go through the SFA story says that. Then it says the plan could include building three new regional prisons that would house between 3,000 and 3,500 inmates. One of the prisons would be a specialty prison for inmates with mental illness. Alabama Department of Corrections Commissioner Jeff Dunn said the new prisons would help fix the problem. The current prisons pose a great risk of public safety and are in poor shape. Dunn said the system that we have right now is causing challenges. End quote. Dunn also said estimated costs for the prisons would be about $900 million. And that's about when Bentley brought this up. It was about $800
million. Mm-hmm.
So let me put the calculator to it with the override. It's $1 billion. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna have to eat my words down the road. Let's just call it $1 billion.
Go ahead and round up.
Yeah, Governor Ivey says all options are on the table for how the state would pay for the prison. I would suggest this. This is one of the unpopular opinions. If we're gonna do this, and they're gonna move to a lottery, although I would suggest that the real way to do it is we have a referendum on lotteries being legalized in the state and let private companies operate lotteries, but states don't ever want to let go of that. They want to do it themselves. So say there's an Alabama state lottery. You know they're going to say it's for the kids and all that, but the ETF already has money behind the wall there, Education Trust Fund. You should maybe have a lottery in the state to pay for prisons. It would never pass, even though it's still a lottery and it's a need, but people will vote on what the lottery's for, mm-hmm. not for actual liberty of lotteries. So, but I'm just saying you could combine those. So it's a billion-dollar proposition here. The governor says the state could hire a contractor to lease the facilities to the state. In other words, private business would build out these three prisons with a contract already signed with the state. This is what Governor Ivey can do without the legislature. And they would sign this contract, and the state would pay the company X number of dollars a year to lease the prisons. Then it would be staffed with Alabama Department of Corrections. It would basically like a strip mall. You and I are opening a frozen yogurt place or whatever. Mm-hmm. We got our employees in there and everything. We're just renting space.
That makes sense.
In this case, it's a prison. That would keep the state from having to do a bond issue. Lawmakers rejected a bond issue for a similar plan in the past because concerns that closing prisons in other regions would have a significant impact on the economy in those areas. Can I translate that?
Yeah, please do, because it makes no sense.
Okay. In other words, what this says in the story is members of the legislature do not want to be on record voting for new prisons because that means shutting down the older prisons and moving those inmates to new prisons, which then takes away the jobs from places like Atmore or up in St. Clair County or places where we have these facilities. So the legislature doesn't want to be on record. They don't want to get the pushback for voting to take away jobs. So they're not going to do it. So the governor is saying, well, maybe I do this through an executive action and enter into a contract with these private companies to build the prisons and then lease the space from them. That's one of the pushes that's coming out here. So that's what we're probably going to see here.
Well, I can understand why legislators don't want to be the bad guy, but I mean, it's part of their job. It irks me so much. Sometimes you have to be the bad guy when you're elected or when you're hired to a certain position. That comes with the territory. And as far as marketing, I mean, anything you pass in Montgomery or Washington, D.C., it comes down to marketing. You have to market what you're trying to pass in the bills. And if they were to use the lottery to end up helping pay for these prisons, it doesn't ring as true when you're saying, let's raise money for prisoners. Because I've seen so many ads, like with the Tennessee lottery, and they have ads on TV commercials where they're saying, you know, we raised this much money for the Tennessee Education Fund, and we did this and that. You're not going to see Alabama commercials where they say, go buy lottery tickets. You're raising money for prisons.
But it's true. I mean, it's where the funding would be needed.
Mm-hmm.
But you could never pass a lottery there. Just the same way, I think there's a snowball, not even a snowball's chance, of passing a referendum to let private lotteries exist in the state. And the state could still get revenue by licensing it, taking a excise tax from the net of each lottery, but they wouldn't be in control of it. They're not going to do that. All right, 847, coming right back. Grab your calls. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Kane. 852 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. This year, make sure you order like a pro with Pro Flowers. Lots of great things to love about sending your love Valentine's Day flowers with Pro Flowers. First off, the speed of delivery. As soon as you go to proflowers.com and make that order, they begin shipping them to your home or to whoever you're sending the flowers to. Also, the freshness of the flowers, the ease of using proflowers.com, and the value. You can't beat it. My Valentine's Day pro move is to keep it simple and send Pro Flowers. They make it so easy to order like a pro and find the perfect bouquet at the perfect price with that 7-day freshness guaranteed. So this Valentine's Day, let the pros at Pro Flowers handle the details and send your Valentine something you know that they'll love. Newsflash, Valentine's Day is tomorrow, but don't worry. Right now you can get one dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Just go to proflowers.com today. Click on the mic on the top right-hand corner of the page and enter the code Dalton. That's D-A-L-T-O-N to get this limited time offer. That's roses for just $19.99 at proflowers.com. Click the mic and enter the code Dalton. Make sure you order today.
Right. Looking at this text here, this is good, Dalton.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned earlier about the they put them in the vehicle and ride them around to get them to sleep.
Yeah.
Put them in the bassinet. This texter says, this is smart, strap them into a car seat.
Okay.
Put the car seat on top of the dryer and turn the dryer on, same vibration as the car, and you don't have to go anywhere. See, this person's saving gasoline.
Yeah, that's a life hack right there. And yeah, somebody else said that if I'm going to drive my new daughter around to get her to go to sleep, I better do it before they pass that gas tax in Montgomery so I can save a little bit of money.
Chester on the text line says, congratulations, Dalton. The ride from the hospital to home after my first kid was born, still the scariest moment of my life. My hand marks are still embedded in the steering wheel. I knew we were going to crash. Yeah, you get in that worry that you're like, oh, now you, if you were even, you know, beyond vigilant before driving, as soon as you put the your children, your progeny in there, then you're beyond alert.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then later on, as they get bigger, they learn the critiques. I think they just come natural, the critiques of other drivers. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I drive the speed limit all the time. Uh-huh, I've never gone above the speed limit. But now I'm for sure going to make sure, I remember the slowest drive of my life was when I turned 16 years old, and it was when I turned 15 and got the driver's permit.
Right.
Where the parent had to be in the car, and got the driver's permit, got in the car with my mom, and started driving away. And I probably went 15 miles an hour to the school. And this might even be slower than that, my drive home from the hospital. Might be the slowest I've ever driven.
It will be. And then you'll start getting, you know, a little bit back to the real world. And but you'll have the ability to say things like, don't make me pull the car over.
Yeah, I might do that first drive.
Or learn this one. I'll teach you this one. I use all the time. No, I cannot look at it. My job right now is to drive.
Ooh.
My job is driving. I can't look at the thing. I don't know what they're doing. When we stop, I can see the thing. I don't know what face your brother's making at you, but when we stop, I can see the face. But right now, my job is driving. I cannot turn around.
Quit hitting your sister. Quit hitting your sister.
I can see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I say that every day. But, you know, I can see some things in the rear view. But beyond that, I'm not. Because Lord knows they're going to want you to turn around and see something. It's whatever it is. There's always something they want to show you. And then you can go through the, no, my job right now. And yes, by the way, if you're just joining the show, yes, I wear New Balance tennis shoes. Yes, I wear Carhartt jeans. Yes, I dad style golf shirts.
You know,
I do that stuff. And I say things like, my job is to drive. My job is not to look at what you're doing right now. My job is to drive the vehicle. So
I've already got the dad jokes, you know, on hand.
Good.
Ready to fly. I'm ready to go with those. That's probably the most exciting part about becoming a new dad is no joke is too cheesy. When you're just a dude, when you're a married dude or a single dude, and you say something that's so cheesy, you can't get away with it. But
right.
When you're dad, nothing is off the table.
Right, right. Because the bar has been set so low by sitcoms that all dads are really dumb and can't do anything. So if you show any ability beyond that, you're held in high regard.
Well, I would say that I'm ready for the journey of fatherhood, but I don't think anyone is truly ready for all the ups and downs that come with having a baby and watching a young life that you've made grow into the world. But I am, I guess, ready to show up every day and see what happens.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You are someone who shows up and works every day. So little Izzy is going to be set on a dad. I will say this, too, on kids programming. Oddly enough, saw this story pop up today from ITV. It says a lot of popular kids cartoons today come from England. including, and these are these two right here my children watched, Thomas and Friends.
Yes.
Thomas the Train Engine and Peppa Pig.
I knew Thomas the Tank Engine. They have some really, really, that's a long series, right? They've been running for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Ed Carlin was the old voice of, he did it for a long time. No, seriously, he was early. I loved watching that with the kids. But they say it may be having an unexpected effect on American children. American children have started talking with British accents because they're mimicking what they hear on those shows. It says if you're worried about your child having that accent permanently, actual psychologists weighed in and say if your kid will eventually drop it even if they pick it up. Until then, though, enjoy them talking about tomatoes and zebras and all that. So there's the Peppa Pig and Thomas and Friends may have your daughter speaking in that.
Good to know. But Dora the Explorer, not from Britain, right?
Oh, my gosh. And Boots. And get ready. You got Dora. You'll have Boots. You'll have, what is it, Swiper the Fox.
Okay.
Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swipe. And Backpack.
Backpack.
The Backpack has got all the stuff in it. And the delay, you'll be able to test. You'll think your child's brilliant. I think it's probably by design. When Dora asks the Backpack, like, what things do they need to do whatever, get across a stream or rescue something, whatever, it comes up with real obvious answers for which thing out of the backpack you would need. And your child's going to answer, and you're like, my child's brilliant. Because she sits there, Dora, in this catatonic eye face, just looks at you on the screen for like an extra 7 or 8 seconds. You're like, we already know that we need the raincoat, Dora.
Right.
And the child's even, and you'll think your child's brilliant. I think they build that in. All right, so there's some
great
tips.
I can't wait for our conversations off the air once I get through some of these kids' TV shows.
Get ready. While I was reading that prison story from WSFA, I took a picture of the embedded ad that was there. I put it on my Twitter feed. It is completely insensitive and horrible, and I'm sure I'm going to be much maligned on Twitter. So if you'd like to see that as the hate starts coming through, you can see that at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter.